2021 TRPA Hearings Officer Virtual Meeting. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the Hearings Officer today. I will call the meeting to order. Item number two is the approval of today's agenda. I will ask the staff, including Georgina, if we have any changes to today's meeting agenda.
I have been given no changes to today's agenda.
Very good. Thank you, Georgina. Having no changes, I will approve the agenda as it's been presented and posted. Item three are the public interest comments for no action. Any member of the public wishing to address the hearings officer on any agenda item that's not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, public comments on announcement of appeal rights or on public hearing items will be taken at the time those agenda items are heard. Please note that the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands for anyone wishing to address the hearings officer under item three?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. Okay, no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of the agenda.
Thank you, Georgina. We'll move on to item four, which is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone listening today know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and the appeal application can be found at the TRPA website. We'll move on to item five, today's public hearing items. Item 5A is the Martin Land Capability Challenge located at 5625 Rhodesia Road in Placer County, California. The assessor's parcel number is 116-210-028, and the TRPA file number is LCAP 2021-0017. Julie Roll, will you please give us a brief introduction on this item?
Sure. This is Julie Roll. This land capability challenge was reviewed by our soils consultant, Marcelle Munneke, and she's on the line today, so she can give you some comments when I'm finished. The staff recommendation is to change the land capability from class 1C and 6 to all class 6. I've not received any public comment on this application and no changes to the staff report as posted.
Thank you, Julie. Marcelle, can you please summarize your findings?
Hi, yeah, this is Marcelle Munneke. So this parcel was originally mapped as 1C, which is stony colluvial land, which was a miscellaneous land unit, which was designed to cover areas with high amounts of rock fragments. It's usually on like almost talus slopes where rock fragments are like 50 to 90% cover, like in stones, cobbles, boulders. In this area on Lake Tahoe, it was used to cover areas that were highly fractured mud flow, but they also were supposed to have 50 to 90% cover of rock fragments and greater than 50% rock fragments in the subsurface. None of that was present on the site. There's actually very few rock fragments. The soil turned out to be more like a Jorge or George soil as that was mapped in the the new soil survey, 2007, sorry about that. So it changes from a 1C to a class 6 because it was mapped incorrectly, basically. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Marcelle. I've read the staff report and the attached soil study. I don't have any further questions for you. Do we have someone on the line this afternoon who's representing the applicant in this matter? All right, doesn't sound like we do. Well, perhaps I spoke to him.
Well, this is Marcel. I see that Gary Furumoto is on the list here, but he would be representing the applicant. But apparently he's not signing in.
Gary, any comments or remarks on this item?
Gary, I don't know if you're there, but it says that you're self-muted.
All right, we'll continue then. No remarks from the applicant. At this time, I would like to open the public hearing on the Martin Land Capability Challenge. Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands of anyone who would like to address the hearings officer and provide public input on this item?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And we have one hand raised. This is Yolanda Knack.
Good, please, Ms. Knack.
And Yolanda, it says that you are self-muted.
So I'm sorry, I just joined in, but I am opposed to the old elementary school being a parking lot or a transportation hub. So,
Ms. Knack, I'm sorry, that's not the item that's before us right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is the Martin Land Capability Challenge that's located in Placer County. Do you have any comments on that item?
No, I don't. I apologize. I had just joined in and I didn't quite understand what you were discussing. Thank you.
No problem. We appreciate that. Thank you. Georgina, back to you. Any other hands raised?
And we have no other hands raised at this time, so we can continue with the review of the agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Having seen no hands raised on this agenda item, and Julie, just to summarize again, no additional public comment or input was submitted?
That's correct, Andrew.
All right, thank you. I will close the public hearing on this item and take action on the project. Based on the information that's contained in the staff report, including the findings, the rationale, the conclusions reached, and the field work, I will approve the Martin Land Capability Challenge as it has been proposed. Let's move on to item 5B, the Fraser Land Capability Challenge. This is located at 1425 Commonwealth Drive, Placer County, California. The assessor's parcel number is 111-280-038. The TRPA file number is LCAP2021-0016. Julie, can you please give us an introduction and summary of this land capability challenge?
Yeah, sure. This is Julie again. This land capability challenge was also reviewed by our soils consultant, Marcel Munneke. The staff recommendation is to change the land capability for this parcel from a class 3 to a class 6. I have not received any public comments on this application, and there are no changes to the staff report as posted. And I think we have Gary on the line now as well, and he is also representing the owner for this one.
Thank you, Julie. Marcel, back to you. Can you please summarize for us what your site visit and investigation revealed?
Yeah, hi, this is Marcel again. This parcel was originally mapped as Jabu, moderately fine subsoil variant, which is a class 5 capability with slopes from 2 to 9%. And then a land capability verification came out and found that it was a Jabu sandy loam, which is class 3 based on slopes of 9 to 20%. The slopes on the actual parcel are mainly around 11 to 12%. And the soil is not a Jabu soil because it is it has coarser sand textures than the Jabu moderately fine soil has, like clay loam and loam subsurface textures. So it's actually somewhat like the Jorge soil that was mapped in the 2007 survey, except for there is some layers of lacustrine deposits in the within the upper 6 feet of soil. So it doesn't really fit anything that's mapped, but it falls into capability class 6 based on the slopes and the deep coarse textured soils. So that's all I have on that one.
I see a reference in the staff report that I think comes out of the updated mapping, the unadopted mapping, to a knee ridge soil grid.
Okay, right, right. Okay.
Briefly, Marcel, that's the first time I've come across that.
I'll have to refresh my memory on that one. Pull it up. I don't know, Phil Scholes, are you on the line? Bear with me a minute. Okay, so the knee ridge soils were, they were formed in colluvium and till, derived from andesitic and andesitic lahar. They say they're on foot slopes and side slope of glaciated valleys and mountains. They are an andesol, meaning they have ash influence from volcanic ash, and they're deep and not very well developed soils, which would put them in a class 6 soil region as well, capability.
And that was different than your determination, is that correct?
Yes, this is doesn't refer to any lacustrine deposits underneath. And it is a little finer texture than what we found as well.
So we're closer to the George soil.
Yeah. Where the parcel is located, it's kind of like between, like where there's more of a lacustrine and outwash type material versus the hill slope and colluvial, you know, gravity formed soils. So it's kind of right on the transition.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looked as if the original Bailey class was a 5 and right. Field verified through an LCD some time ago by the staff as a 3, based primarily, it appears, on the slope range.
That's right.
Right. And with a further investigation and soil, one soil test pit done by Backo, we've concluded that the soil type on there and the slope were different.
Well, the slope is around 11 to 12%, but the way that those Jabu map units are written, you can only go to 9% to be class 5, and then from 9 to 20% is class 3. So the break is at 9% slope for Jabu, and for a Jorge, the slope goes up to 15% slope to be class 6, and then class 4 is above 16% slope. So they have different slope breaks for their capability classes.
I see. Thank you.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, that does help. Yes, I hadn't remembered all my slope modifiers from those
five
maps.
Yeah.
D, E, and F, or whatever the other ranges. Okay, very good. Thank you. Anyone on the line representing the applicant on this matter? All right, hearing none, let's move on.
Yeah, okay, yes. I'm now unmuted. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what's been going on here, but the first time I was talking, and I guess nobody heard me, but in terms of this land capability challenge, this is Gary Furumoto, and I'm representing the owner, and we have reviewed the staff report, and we agree with the findings and have no further comment on this land capability challenge. And since my comments weren't heard on the prior staff, on the prior agenda item, we didn't object to anything on that one as well. So I think that was went through okay.
Very good. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. At this point, I'll open the public hearing and ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to provide public comment on agenda item 5B, the Fraser Land Capability Challenge. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. We have one hand raised. This is Johanna Butler.
Ms. Butler, yeah, please.
My question is, I live very close to the Martin Land Capability Challenge, and I'm just trying to understand, are they just trying to expand the usable space on their land for soil? Because that's where I got kind of confused when I was reading the documents.
And did you say, Ms. Butler, the Martin, you live near the Martin site?
Yes, I do.
Okay, correct. We've already acted on that. I apologize that we weren't able to get your comments out as part of that one, but that item has already been acted on.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that if you would like to correspond via email or phone with our staff planner on this, Julie Roll, following the meeting, I'm sure she'd be happy to speak with you further about the effects of a land capability challenge and what it means.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was my main question, understanding that. But sure. Okay.
And
I'll contact
Julie's,
her.
Contact information is included in the staff report for the Martin Land Capability Challenge.
Where do I find the information for the staff report?
Online, under the hearings officer, meeting materials for today's meeting.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'll contact her. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Butler. Georgina, any other public comments on agenda item 5B?
Hi, this is Phil Scholes. Can I provide a comment?
Phil?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Is it okay for me to provide a comment? I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes, yes.
Okay, sorry. I just simply wanted to comment that we're finding with these land capability challenges that people that have class 5 soil, which is, you know, 25% coverage, is often what they're built out to, and doing a land capability challenge to get to a class 6, which gets some 5% more cover, is well worth their effort. And so I think we're going to continue to see an increasing trend of challenges for going from class 5 to class 6.
Anything else, Phil?
No, thank you.
Very good. Georgina, any other people who would like to provide input or comment?
And I do not see any other hands raised at this time, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing that we have no further public comment on this item, I will close the public hearing and take action on the project. Based on the information that's contained in the staff report including the findings and the conclusions reached, along with the additional information that's been provided, I will approve the Fraser Land Capability Challenge as it has been proposed. Let's move on to item 5C, the Fialo Land Capability Challenge, located at 1620 North Lake Boulevard in Placer County, California. The assessor's parcel number is 094-160-010, and the TRPA file number is LCAP-2021-0289. Julie Roll, back to you again.
All right. So for this land capability challenge, Phil Scholes is a soils consultant who reviewed the project on behalf of TRPA. He's on the line to answer any questions. The staff recommendation is to change the land capability from Class 1A and Class B to Class 2 and Class 6. No comments were received on this item, and there's actually one minor change to the staff report, and that is Attachment A was replaced, and Attachment A is the vicinity map and TRPA land capability map. So that's basically just the Bailey mapping for the area. On the copy that was posted, the layers showing the land capability district did not show up, so we've replaced that. It doesn't change anything with the recommendation or the proposed map, but just wanted to put that on the record. And let's see, we have Kevin Agin. He's the consultant representing the owner on this, so he is on the line as well.
Thank you, Julie. Phil Scholes, can you please give us a summary of your investigation and its results?
Yes, the property is mapped having a class 1A type, which is a rock rubble. It's actually located almost at the base of a fairly steep cliff that is east of Tahoe City. And so it was mapped as essentially a talus slope for that cliff. When the soil consultant, Sid Davis, did his field investigation, he dug one pit sort of on the backyard area and found that the soils were rocky, but they weren't the talus slope condition that the soil survey had mapped. In fact, it's a fairly deep soil, and it looks fairly close to the George soil that Marshall was describing a few minutes ago. So the land capability for the majority of the property was being changed from that class 1A to class 6. There's a very steep escarpment that goes from where the house is located down to the lake that's now been replaced by a retaining wall. But that was originally was mapped also as rubble land, but an LCV had identified it as class 1B, which is an SEZ. And I can only speculate that the reason they did so was that they really didn't have another land capability class to put it in. Plus, it was probably growing some willows and some alders, which we see on some adjacent properties that have a similar but not as steep escarpment. So it didn't really have the characteristics of an SEZ, so we put it into the category of class 2, which is a 1% coverage for deep soils that are not necessarily as rocky or don't have bedrock in them like we see with the class 1A. So it was fairly straightforward as a land capability challenge goes, but it was a big change from a 1% coverage to mostly 30% coverage.
Very good. Thank you, Phil, for that explanation. And I note there was also the 2006 LCV done as well. And we have an applicant representative on our call today. Kevin Agin, do you have any comments or input?
Yes, to give a little bit of background, and thank you. We do agree with the staff summary of both TRPA staff and the soil scientists that we advanced for consideration is A little bit of background is both adjacent properties have high land capabilities because it's a plateau area before it dives off into a bluff situation. And so the land capability challenge that's being presented appears to be consistent with the adjacent properties. So we're pleased that there's consensus that the high land capability will be recognized if approved with the adjacent properties. If you have any questions, I have more information if necessary.
Thank you, Kevin. Based on the map that Julie substituted in with our mapped land capabilities, and then it certainly looks to be the case as you move further to the east or away from Tahoe City, where the Class 5 polygon appears. At this point, I don't have any other questions for staff or the applicant, and we'll open the public hearing. Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands on this item for any public input?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And we have a comment from Judith Simon.
Yes, Ms. Simon, please go ahead.
Judith, can you unmute yourself? Judith, it says that you're self-muted. Okay. Looks like Judith is maybe no longer wants to make a comment or is not able to unmute herself. And I don't see any other hands raised. So Judith, if you are not able to unmute yourself, I don't see any other hands raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Okay. Did you call on me, Judith Simon, or
yes.
Some other
Judith?
Yes, we did. Thank you. And this is for item 5C, the Fialo Land Capability Challenge.
Okay. No, I wanted to comment on 5D.
Okay. Very good then. Georgina, no other public comment?
No other hands
or input
raised.
Hand raised for 5C, then I will close the public hearing, thank you, and take action on the project based on the information that's presented in the staff report, in the soil study, and the analysis by our contractor, Phil Scholes. The findings, the determination, and the conclusions that are reached in the staff report, I will approve the Fialo Land Capability Challenge as it has been proposed. Let's move on to item 5D, Tahoe Transportation District, Washoe County School District, temporary use, located at 771 Southwood Boulevard and 915 Northwood Boulevard in Incline Village, Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor parcel numbers are 132-201-02 and 132-012-05. The TRPA file number is ERSP 2021-0673. Bridget Cornell, can you please give us your statements and introductory remarks on this project?
Yes, thank you, Andrew. Again, this is Bridget Cornell, and I'm a planner with the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. I will give a little brief background on this, and there are two staff people from the Tahoe Transportation District who will share a little more details about the proposed project. So as you mentioned, the current project that is before the hearings officer today is to allow a temporary use of the two Incline Elementary School campuses in town. For those of you who don't know, one is no longer in use and one is currently in use. The campus that is no longer in use is the one that's located at 771 Southwood Boulevard, and that would be the primary location for this particular project. The proposed project is to allow the use of each of these campuses as a transit station and terminal, again, on a temporary basis. It would be, each location would be used to provide parking to serve the East Shore Express, which is a shuttle service operated by the Tahoe Transportation District, to serve the East Shore along to Sand Harbor along the East Shore. The reason why it is coming to hearings officer is transit station and terminals is considered a special use in that planning area, which is now part of the Washoe County area plan. Again, so by allowing it to operate on a temporary use, it would, if permitted, they would be allowed to operate at those locations for a single season with an option to continue for a second season. The staff summary is posted on the TRPA website with the hearings officer materials for today. There is one little point of clarification I wanted to make, that on the staff summary in the section that addresses the findings, the applicable findings for this project, the introductory paragraph makes reference to chapters 4, 21, 37, and 50, but there are no required findings for chapter 37. So that is just an oversight on my part that got left in from something I was using. Chapter 37 addresses height. One thing to note on this project, there are no physical improvements proposed at either site at this time. It would be using existing facilities to essentially act as intercept parking to serve the East Shore Express. We have received many public comments on this, and we can go into that in further detail during the public comment period. We did post a link on the TRPA website, again, along with the hearings officer materials for today, that includes, one of the links includes all the public comments that were received as of noon today. We've received three more since then, which I will introduce into the record during the public comment period. The other item that we posted directly there is the initial environmental checklist for the project. So that's the basics on it. I'll go ahead and let, I think we're going to start with George Fink from the Tahoe Transportation District. Again, there's two staff people who will provide a little bit of background, and then I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. George, if you're on, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Cornell. Mr. Strain, this is George Fink with Tahoe Transportation District. I'll go ahead and introduce Tara Sire, the operations manager, and she'll give a brief overview of the service and what that all entails. And I'll be happy to answer any questions beyond that. Thank you.
Thank you, George. As he mentioned, my name is Tara Steyer. I'm the Transit Operations Manager with Tahoe Transportation District. TTD operates the East Shore Express seasonally from mid-June through Labor Day. The service is offered daily between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., and it operates every 30 minutes. The last season that we operated was 2019, and the East Shore Express provided over 39,000 trips. The service provides transit between Incline Village and Sand Harbor, and with the addition of the East Shore Trail, a handful of new bus stops were added, so now we have a total of 7 bus stops along that route. As Bridget mentioned, the intercept parking lots outlined in this permit are located at 771 Southwood Boulevard, which is the old elementary school, and 915 Northwood Boulevard, which is the current elementary school, both in Incline Village. The property at 771 Southwood is the primary lot, and visitors are directed to that lot for parking. If that lot reaches capacity, then visitors are directed to 915 Northwood, and that's considered our overflow lot. And since the overflow lot is the current elementary school, that lot is not available for use when school is in session. And with that, I think, George, I'll pass it back to you.
All right, thank you, Tara. Is there anything else that I can add, or if there are any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Tara, and thank you, George. I do have a question. how will the overflow lot be triggered? Will there be a TTD or transit provider staff person who is on site on a regular or daily basis to help direct people as the primary lot that the elementary school fills? How's that operations envisioned?
If George, I was... take that one?
Oh, go ahead. Please, sorry.
Sir. Yeah. There's a parking attendant on every day of operations, and they are at 771 Southwood managing the parking there. We also have road supervisors who float between both lots to make sure that folks are parking in the designated spots.
Thank you. And will the road supervisor, will they be assigned to the East Shore shuttle exclusively during those times?
Generally, we try to have a road supervisor dedicated since it's so far away from our bus yard, yes.
Right. That's what I was curious about. I know there's road supervisors on other parts of your system, but that's such a distance. Time and mileage from the south to the east shore.
Mr. Strain, I'd like to go ahead and add to that any after hours issues that come up as an Incline resident, I personally take care of those.
And thank you, George. And can you go into a little further explanation about an after hours incident?
And after hours would be if after the service has ceased running, if a car is in the parking lot is locked by the parking attendant at the end of the service day. So if there is a car that's locked in a parking lot from someone who did not take the last bus back, then usually they will call dispatch. Dispatch will call me and I will let that person into the lot to get their car and then relock it during the evening. It happens maybe, you know, 4 or 5 times a year.
And that is primarily at the Southwood lot.
That is correct. There's no gated access to the Northwood lot, so it's exclusively at the Southwood lot.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, George. I don't have any other public I don't have any other comments or questions. Bridget, any other remarks?
Not at this time. I'll just be available to respond to any questions after the public hearing.
Very good. Let's open the public hearing then. Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands for those who wish to address the hearings officer on this item 5D?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And
I will ask Georgina to observe our 3-minute time limit today, since we will likely have numerous commentors. So please, if those of you who would like to comment, please make sure and observe the 3-minute limit.
All right, and we will start with Aaron Vanderpool.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my name's Aaron. I've lived in Incline my whole life. I currently live less than 500 feet from the Southwood location. I submitted written comment today, and I urge the officer to read this before making a decision. I just wanted to make a couple direct more comments to this, as I oppose this temporary use. There are significant impacts to consider. While it might not seem like it now, there are long-term socioeconomic impacts and pollution to our basin. Although they are not seeking to make any physical changes at this time with their temporary use, their past use of this property has contributed to traffic congestion and noise. During their use, there's longer waits to get up from Southwood through the stoplight, and we had to wait through up to 3 red lights. Also, this location is located in a low-income area of town, and we're already struggling with parking and competition for parking with tourists. The businesses south of the school had to put up signs warning against using their parking lot. It's also located along one of the routes of the Incline Fire Department that they use constantly to get out. I would like to say if anyone has seen the overflow of parking between Lakeshore Boulevard and up past Spits and Lumber to Country Club from the Sand Harbor sidewalk, this project is basically just an extension of that craziness. They're proposing to bring all this stuff into our low-income area, and we're already struggling with law enforcement problems. They can't even enforce the parking and pollution we have right now. During their past use, we did have tourists going up and down Oriole looking for parking. We are more than full here with parking. But more than that, this significantly increases the vehicular noise that we see from cars parking along the street, which was unfortunately something that Washoe County messed with that they shouldn't have, that created even more problems. So, I mean, this is just a congested area of town. As the wealth gap increases, our area becomes more busy while the rest of the town becomes less busy. And we're just seeing lots of congestion over here. You can drive through Incline and it'll be like a ghost town sometimes, but you get to this neighborhood and it's just packed. So thank you. I did write more comments. I'll leave it open for people.
Thank you, Mr. Vanderpool. Appreciate that. Bertina?
Next, we will hear from Chris Johnson.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Chris, it says that you're self-muted. Can you unmute your microphone?
Okay. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Yes, hey, thanks. Hey, my name's Chris Johnson, and I just sat and listened to Aaron's comments. I live a little bit further away from Aaron, but close. I live on Friels Peak Drive, which is just kitty quarter, and I've lived here for over 21 years, and I used to walk my daughter to that IES, the old, what we call the old elementary school here in town. So I'm pretty familiar with walking to it. I do want to reinforce and support Aaron's comment that where he resides is truly one of the busiest and most congested sections of town, which is where my concern is. And right across the entrance, when I looked at the map that's been proposed to use for travel in and out of the IES old school, which is the way we used to drop kids off. That exit is right in front of that very dense multi-apartment complex. If you aren't familiar with it, George resides here, as does Bridget, so they both should be very familiar with that dense complex that has not enough parking for its residents, so they park all over the street everywhere, extending all the way down Southwood. Southwood is also the local school bus route, and there are many kids and families that line up to take the bus, school bus, in the morning and get dropped off there in the afternoon. And it continues all the way down Southwood Boulevard here in town, which is filled with a lot of apartments and townhouses. So I do not object to the IES location where the new building is. My only objection is to the old IES school. And so my comments back to George and Tara is, you know, I'm not too sure what the balance load is going to be between the two buildings for parking, but I'm also familiar with the new lot because my daughter went to school there. And it's definitely much better set up for flow for traffic and well-designated parking. I did put through some comments to Bridget today about what I thought was beneficial to the new school parking lot, but I would strongly urge you to not permit the location for the old IES lot. Just because of the congestion already there, the families there. And just a note, there was a child that was struck by cars last year in that area. So we already have a problem. I think that's it. I do have some follow-on questions, Tara, for you about the logistics of how many buses, the size of buses, the routes you'll be taking. from IES, because 2 years ago when you guys were running, that little bus was charging around our neighborhood exceeding the speed limit of 25 miles per hour. So
that is 3 minutes.
Definitely a problem.
Ms. Johnson, if you could please speak with Tara offline about that. I think we're past the 3 minute hurdle.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Georgina, do we have any other commenters?
Next, we'll go to Diane Becker.
All right, Ms. Becker.
Hello, my name is Diane Becker, and I'm a full-time resident of Incline Village. I oppose this special use permit, and I'd like to advise that the reason that the special use permit is being obtained is myself and several other local residents who ultimately oppose the long-term plan to put a transportation hub there for the entire lake was improperly applied for because there was no special use permit. And when we made that argument, we were told no special use permit was required by Mr. Hasty of the TTD. We then objected to the federal agencies that are providing the funding, and now they are going for a special use permit. If you give this special use permit, that will enable them to use the argument that they say this is a continuous legal use. Well, it was not a continuous legal use since the time of the elementary school. First of all, there was a long period of many years, in excess of 5 years, between when the elementary school closed and stopped bus service and when this service started. We really need TARPA to either protect us by rejecting the special use permit entirely or at least requiring a real EIR. The EIR is just a copy of the EIR from 2014, and it is not a thorough EIR, and I want to go through a few of them. It answers no to so many issues that are not accurate. It basically says human health won't be affected, but we just had this young little girl hit and had to be airlifted out. We know that there are so many children in that area and so many people in that area that can be seriously injured. And to say there's no problem to human health, it has to at least be looked at. It says the project in item 21 won't degrade the quality of the environment, etc. There's absolutely, from what I can see, nothing has been studied. They just checked no, and we believe, the citizens believe, that TARPA's purpose is to protect the environment, the lake, and those of us who live there, the quality of our life up there. And I understand that it's the environmental quality, but the environmental quality cannot, you can't just say it doesn't impact it and make that true. There need to be real studies. Noise, there's no impact on noise by having a bunch of buses run right across the street from the most highly dense population area in all of Incline Village. We hope that at least TARPA, and they say no change in air quality. Those with the way the bus, with the buses, no odors, no changes in water quality, even though the site is so close to a stream. We ask at a minimum that TARPA say, if you want a special use permit.
That is 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I had more, but thank you anyways.
No, thank you. We appreciate those comments. Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Karen Farrell.
Okay, Ms. Farrell.
Yes, Karen Farrell. I'm a full-time resident of Incline Village. I would like to know what plans you have in place to prevent overflow parking at Incline Center, which is adjacent to the Southwood Boulevard property, because it affects our businesses. That's it. Will someone answer the question?
Andrew, do you want comments to be addressed now, or should we wait and let all the public hearing be heard?
Yes, I'm making a note of that. I'm making note of the comment, and I'd like to give the TTD staff or TRPA staff the time as we finish the public hearing this Perfect. Afternoon okay. to respond. But I've got that noted. Overflow parking at the Incline Commercial Center. Yes.
Yeah, the top part, right next to
Yes, the upper parking. Level.
Yes, upper level.
Okay. Very good. Understood. Anything else, Ms. Farrell?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And Georgina? Next, we will hear from Rhonda Tyser.
Ms. Tyser, please.
Rhonda Tyser, I am a 30-year resident of Incline Village. This permit is not just for a temporary use of the old elementary school. It is for a future use. This permit is required for TTD to get the grant money from the FTA to build the hub, which will operate forever in the future. The decision today will determine the future of Incline Village. The permit is not just for one or two seasons. The idea that this is just for a few seasons is another in a long line of obfuscations by TTD. The permit application should be denied based on false statements made on its initial environmental impact statement. Because the project is located in the Tahoe Area Plan commercial area, allowing transit as a permissible use does not mean that a 175-car parking lot and continuous coming and going bus to Sand Harbor is an appropriate use of the land. There will be many adverse environmental impacts to the area and to the community at large, which neighbors and residents have already experienced from the past illegal use of the parcel. To name a few, disturbing the health, safety, enjoyment of property, and general welfare of persons in the neighborhood, increased congestion, increased traffic, noise pollution, car alarms, honks and beeps, bass stereos, bus noises, air pollution, car exhaust, ground pollution, motor oil, traffic dust, lighting pollution, increased parking on village streets, increased need for parking enforcement, friction with tourists parking in the business lots, more pedestrian accidents, increased gridlock, long waits at the stoplight on Tahoe Boulevard, pollution, trash, litter, and lots of neighbor health concerns. In addition, injury to land, water, and air resources of the surrounding property owners, disturbance of the stream environment zone for Burnt Cedar Creek, greater sediment into the lake, more tourists to the east shore, over-tourism, over-carrying capacity, and most important, acting against the TRPA mission that protects both the Lake Tahoe and its communities. Permit approval will lead the way to the destruction of the heart of Incline Village. Do not approve this permit.
Thank you, Ms. Tyser. Georgina?
Next, we'll hear from Sean Orgel.
All right. Please, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for hearing me out. So I agree with everything previously stated and definitely don't have as well organized of an argument, but I live in the condo complex right across from this, and the only way in and out of our lot is right at the red light. And currently right now, as someone mentioned, waiting three cycles, it is hard in the summers to get home. And that to me is my biggest concern, especially if I also want to walk to the lake or cross the street. There is no way in or out of our lot safely. And the more cars we add, the harder that will be, and it will really hurt like us being able to move about our town by foot and not by car for safety reasons. I can say I agree with everything else previously said. I won't repeat it, but that's my main concern I want to call out.
Thank you, Mr. Orgel. Georgina?
Next, we'll hear from Yolanda Knack.
All right, Ms. Knack, please.
Hi, my name is Yolanda Knack, and I'm calling because, first of all, I want you to know I approve of the 915 Village. That's a much safer road, where the 771 Southwood is not a safe road. I'd like to address, you can go online to Channel 3 News. There's from Friday, April 2nd, 2021, there was a five-year-old struck by a car near Oriole Way and Southwood Boulevard, which is like right there. and the child was taken to the emergency room and then care flighted down to Reno. There are a lot of children that live across the street. I actually used to live on Oriole, and there's a lot of children that live in that area, and it's not a substantial road. It's just a small two-lane road, and I don't believe it's safe for the children that live in the local area. And so I would like to speak out opposing the 771 Southwood site. Please do not give a special use permit. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Knack. Georgina?
Next, we'll hear from Robert McNamara.
All right, Mr. McNamara.
Thank you, everyone, for letting me hop on here. I'm also a resident of the neighborhood immediately surrounding and have the same concerns that have been previously mentioned here. It's already a source of major congestion with the amount of people that are moving about, living there, commuting through to get down to the center. One issue that has been raised is this is also the emergency services route from the fire department in Incline Village as they head through that neighborhood up Southwood Boulevard through the stoplight there to get to any incidents that are on Mount Rose Highway or in Crystal Bay. It's already a congested area, and increasing the traffic there is going to provide an extra layer to that to our emergency services as community members and response times if they have to navigate increased traffic loads in that area. I don't really see any way to get around that with the current layouts, and it's a big concern for us living in the area. But I want to second everything else listed off, especially all the environmental impacts, community impacts, and everything else. But thank you for letting me have the time.
Thank you, Mr. McNamara. Georgina, do we have other commenters?
Yes, next we'll hear from Carol Black.
All right, Ms. Black.
Hi, this is Carol Black. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Though I object to the permit request content as inappropriate for the site proposed, as well as the review process being used, I'm choosing this afternoon to focus on the flawed process. The issues are sufficient that any decision should be deferred until an appropriate process can be scheduled and properly noticed. I guess that would be unless you decided to just decline the whole request, which I would support. Major process objections include, number one, venue and noticing are inappropriate for the scope and impacts of the possible permit approval. I understand that the proposed permits would allow for temporary use of the sites for one season with an option to extend for a second season. However, in addition to negative immediate impacts, which despite neighborhood concerns, many of which you've heard already today, more you may yet hear, and others which have been sent to you in writing, as I have sent an additional statement in writing. These concerns have neither previously nor currently in this application been fully assessed for the East Shore Express activity when it was previously operated. In addition, the implications of the requested permit approval will be far broader and long-lasting in the community than this temporary permit would suggest. And the environment and the current staff report or notion of approving a temporary use permit. I believe that this permit, if approved, will retrospectively legitimize a prior illegal transit operation at this site, namely the previous years of this East Shore Express run without a permit. And that's likely become the basis for rationalization of incorrect assertions used in prior in funding applications, as Ms. Tyser suggested, as well as a justification used in future permit approval reviews for a larger transit hub at the OES site, which has been opposed by many, many residents, constituents, citizens for multiple reasons, as I and others have repeatedly noted. Thus, I strongly recommend that the approach be reviewed and the current permit request processed at a minimum in the context of its broader implications rather than narrowly, as has been suggested in this permit request. The second item is the critical materials, namely the TTD IEC, were omitted from the publicly posted meeting materials and were only added this morning. Independent of thoughts about what the content is, This is quite simply insufficient notice. So I'm specifically requesting either deny this request permanently or at a minimum defer any decision today. If it's going to be considered again in the future, notice future agenda items to the entire impacted Incline Village Crystal Bay community, recognizing broad concerns and objections to the transit planning process, including this component. Consider this special use permit in the context
of 3 minutes.
The entire impacted community via formal input session and TRPA formal meeting cascade, namely the governing board. With all due respect, this session I think is inadequate for this potential scope and implication. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Black. We appreciate you wrapping up. Thank you. Georgina, who's next?
We have Judith Miller.
All right, Ms. Miller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Strain. Thank you for the opportunity. I agree with many of the prior callers. This is not a suitable site for the operation of the summer shuttle to Sand Harbor and the East Shore Trail. In particular, I wanted to point out that I don't believe the special use findings have been adequately met. This project certainly is injurious and disturbing to the health, safety, enjoyment of property of persons or property in the neighborhood. I think you've heard that many times over. This is also the route that we take to the post office. We don't have mail delivery at many of our homes. So that's another reason why this is an extremely congested area. But I'd like to look at this in a broader perspective. TRPA is charged with protecting the lake. However, when you place more parking lots, more people will come. If the idea is to minimize traffic and vehicles around the basin, then perhaps we need to look at the source of those vehicles. I suspect many are from Carson City as well as from Reno. Why not have some sort of public transit between Carson and Lake Tahoe and between Reno and Lake Tahoe? And then we wouldn't need to have a huge parking lot here. What else? It's really serving a state purpose rather than the local community. So why does the local community have to provide the solution? So I'm hoping that TTD can work with other transportation providers in Reno and Carson to solve this problem, provide more transportation from those points, don't bring more vehicles into our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Georgina? Other speakers?
And next we have Judith Simon.
All right, Ms. Simon.
Judith Simon, are you there? Judith, it says that you're self-muted. Are you able to unmute your microphone? Okay, it looks like Judith may have left or...
Oh. Okay.
No,
if still says she's self-muted. Able to... Yeah. Okay, perhaps we can come back to Ms. Simon after another speaker.
And actually, that is our last hand raised. So okay. We have no other hands raised. So if Judith Simon is not there, we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Very good. Thank you, Georgina. Let's give Ms. Simon another opportunity, please, and see if we can get her input on today's record. I can't tell from the screen I'm on whether or not she's still on the call.
She's showing on the call, but it does say self-muted.
All right, Ms. Simon, if you are able to unmute your microphone and provide your input, please do. All right, hearing none, I would like to our staff, the TRP staff and the TTD staff to respond to the comment or question, I should say, that was made during our public comment of overflow parking and how that would be monitored and or addressed from the neighboring, particularly the, I believe, the upper level of the Incline Commercial Center, that's the adjacent land use. Bridget or George or Tara, can you please?
Sure, I'll take that, Mr. Green. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, George.
I think what we do with our parking management with the attendant is as people come in to the old elementary school parking area, we're able to park them there. If the parking area is full, then we direct them to the new Incline Elementary School overflow parking. If they don't interact with us, we really have no idea whether someone was parking to use our service or not, and we don't have any authority for parking enforcement regardless. So that would be something that would have to be taken up with Washoe County Sheriff.
Yes, it seems to me that there ought to be some way for the neighboring property owners to work together, so to speak, to help make sure that the attractiveness of the transit service doesn't cause adverse effects to the adjoining land use, at least where they're known. And I realize that's not all situations.
We'd be happy to help with any signage or additional signage that would be helpful for the property owners as well.
Yes, and if I could just speak up, this is Bridget again. There is a condition in the permit that would require the TTD to prepare a report back to TRPA on the operations, including any complaints that have been received and how they have addressed those complaints. And those, we expect a response on kind of a real-time basis, not waiting till the end of the season. So that is written into the permit itself as well.
I can speak to that right now, Bridget. For complaints for all of our transit services, not just East Shore Express, those are immediately logged by dispatch and responded to as soon as possible, with kind of the outside being, 48 hours before someone could get a response would be the longest they would have to wait. These are all recorded into a database and reported back to FTA. So it's something that we do on our regular services anyway, and we're happy to share those.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I want to go back to Georgina at this point. I believe we may have one more member of the public who wishes to provide input. Am I right on that, Georgina?
Yes, we have one more comment from Doug Flaherty.
Yes, can you hear me?
All right, good afternoon, Mr. Flaherty.
Thank you for taking the comment. I just got off a plane from Texas and quickly got my paperwork together here. I submitted a fairly lengthy comments. I hope that they're read before a decision is made. I do want to bring up a point of process. The environmental checklist that is provided by TRPA clearly states that the following questionnaire will be completed by the applicant based on evidence submitted with the application, and it goes on to state all yes and no and with mitigation answers will require further written comments in the boxes. I just now was able to review the environmental checklist since it hadn't been posted until today. And I don't know, there must be 60 no's with no added information that is required by the checklist. So if we're not going to follow the environmental checklist, why have it? Those instructions are clear. So I think it's fatally flawed. I don't see how you can make a decision based on a incomplete environmental checklist. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaherty. I'll ask Bridget to add her insights into the checklist process in just a moment, but it's my understanding that those boxes that are checked yes or that are checked no with mitigation require further explanation. And I thought I heard you say that the boxes that are checked no require further explanation. And that's not my understanding of that. Perhaps I misunderstood you.
Yeah, and you're correct, Andrew. It's in the questions, and I don't have the IEC open in front of me, but I can if we need to go through it. Is that for the items that where there's an A and a B, if one question is a yes, that, you know, if A is yes, then you have to answer B. And if B is no, that is when you need to provide the additional information. So for all the ones that are saying no, they're saying there are no impacts associated with those particular categories. So each one of those does not require additional information in the initial environmental checklist. And I would like to acknowledge that the application materials for this project were posted on our website way back at the end of September. And unfortunately, the IEC was not posted at that time. And it really was not really brought back to my attention until yesterday. And so we just posted it today directly with the meeting materials. So I apologize for that. I did not receive any requests for, I mean, when I did receive any requests for it, which has just been in the last 24 hours, I just emailed it directly to the interested parties.
Thank you, Bridget. And I'll also add on our environmental checklist forms, checking yes can sometimes indicate a positive environmental effect. And those are oftentimes described so that the reviewer of the IEC, a typically TRPA staff member, will follow the line of thinking and logic on the part of the applicant that there are instances where there are a yes answer is the correct answer or the best fit answer, and it can actually produce a positive environmental effect. I want to ask one more question of the TTD project applicants, and Bridget, feel free, please, to add your thoughts too after they're done if you would like to. And there was a comment raised about what level of coordination has been undertaken or has gone on with those transit services and or transit providers or the organizations that cause the services to be provided. The Washoe County, Carson City, I think were used as examples. Maybe it was even Reno and not Washoe County. In terms of coordination for park and ride services that perhaps exist on the other side of the basin boundary. George or Tara, can you speak to those?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Strain. Washoe RTC did a pilot project this last year of coming over Mount Rose Highway from a park and ride at Sierra Summit, I believe, into Incline, did not extend all the way out to Sand Harbor. I'm not familiar with what their final results of that were. They have not offered a service like that prior or in conjunction with the East Shore Express in the past. Prior to that, I think back in the early days of like 2010, 2008, somewhere around there, there was a service that came over Mount Rose as well, and that ended due to lack of interest within a couple of months. For Carson City, I don't believe that they've ever ran a service from Carson City up over Spooner into Incline or anywhere within the SR 28 corridor, and to my knowledge, they do not have any plans to in the future.
Okay. Thank you, George. Bridget, anything to add to that?
Not regarding serving Incline. I mean, not regarding serving Reno or Carson City. Again, the application was brought forward to us to operate these services at these two locations on a temporary basis. So this is what we are processing at this time. And again, I know there were some comments brought up during public hearing regarding the longer term plans for the site. And I understand that there are concerns regarding that, but this particular project is a temporary use for each of these sites.
Very good. Yes, thank you, Bridget. That is what's before us today, the temporary use and the special use findings. All right, thank you. I am at this point don't have any further questions of the staff or of the applicants. Given the amount of public comment.
Wait, I don't mean to interrupt you, Andrew. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, Bridget.
I just wanted to, I don't know how, if you want me to, again, I mentioned earlier that the link has been provided on the website of the 48 comments that we received before noon today. Three additional emails were received since then that will be entered into the record. I don't know if you need me to read any portion of those or just to acknowledge that they will be entered into the record.
Yes, thank you, Bridget. No, I don't believe we need to read them individually. They are on our website, and it's my understanding, Georgina, those comments will stay on this meeting material information following the conclusion of this meeting. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. We encourage those members of the public and others who wish to follow along to go ahead and find those. I think they're quite easy to locate and very well organized. Again, thank you to Georgina and our staff at the TRPA for taking charge of that. I will note that since we have received such a large number of comments in the last day and a half, as well as those who were offered today by our speakers, and I'd like to thank the speakers for their time. I realize this takes time and effort to participate. Thank you. That's exactly what the public hearing process is for, and we value your input. I value your input. I will at this point continue this item to the next meeting. We've allowed people to comment today. Those comments are in fact part of our record. You will also have an opportunity to comment and review any additional meeting materials. We're going to continue this item to our next meeting, which is scheduled for mid-December. The date will be on the TRPA website if it's not already there. I want to say it's the 16th of December, but I'll ask Georgina to confirm that in just a moment. And we would appreciate the opportunity to review and consider the range of issues that have been raised yesterday and today, particularly in our written and verbal comments. There will be no action on this today. I will continue the item and will also continue the public hearing on this item.
Okay.
And Georgina,
I apologize. This is Bridget again. I just wanted to clarify whether there would be additional public comment at that time, or will we be processing the comment that has already been received? And also, if I would like to just have us clarify on the record that typically when an item gets continued, it is not re-noticed. Notices will not be sent to the affected property owners. We will continue to stay in touch with the local parties involved here to let them know the date of the hearing when it will be taking place.
Very good. So I'm not sure if I heard a question in your remarks or not.
Sorry, Bridget. I guess I was stating that typically we do not, when an item is continued from one hearing to another, we do not re-notice the second hearing. So I just wanted to clarify if that is, will that be the case in this situation?
That I'm going to defer to our legal counsel on that. I don't know the answer.
Thank you, Andrew. That is the case. This will be continued to a date certain in December, and will provide to us in a moment. There will be no item.
Well, I'm sorry, you cut out there at the very end of the last sentence, Marcia.
There won't be new notices for this item.
Okay.
Okay. And Georgina, when is our December meeting scheduled?
Our December meeting is scheduled for December 16th. There are 8 items on the agenda already. So it is possible that if the agenda becomes too long, and there's potentially going to be another item added to that. So it is possible that if the agenda becomes too long, we could add another meeting date or push some of those items into January. But the next 2 meetings right now are scheduled for December 16th and then January 20th.
Okay.
So, Andrew, if I may, this is Marcia.
Yes, Marcia.
We will specifically continue this item to the December 16th meeting.
Good. I was going to make that suggestion.
Yes.
And we can work with the staff on the agenda items, the other agenda items for this tentatively on December to see how to deal with them.
Correct.
Very good. Yes. December 16th, it will be begin at 2 p.m., just as today's meeting will. And I would encourage us as an agency to make sure that the agenda and the notice, I don't mean that in the notice to property owners, but we notice on our website the agenda items, including this, so that people can have confidence. They can go look at our website under meeting information and find the information they're looking for.
Sounds good.
All right, I want to thank again the members of the public for commenting today. This is exactly why we hold public hearings, is to take and consider your input. It is valuable. We appreciate it, our thoughtful and respectful input. Thank you for doing that. And at this point, we will, as I mentioned, we have continued this item. It will be to the December 16th, 2021 Hearings Officer Meeting.